Welcome to the E-Commerce Toolbox Expert Perspectives, a podcast by Noibu, where we explore the elite strategies and cutting-edge insights with our expert guests. Get ready to propel your e-commerce business to the next level.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Toolbox Expert's Perspective. Joining us today, we have a data expert in Matt. So Matt's previously worked in the agency world at Peak Activity. He's worked at Office Depot and Office Max. Prior to that, he was at the Marine Corps. And now he is currently the Senior Director of Ecom Analytics and Optimization at Hey Group. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks. Awesome. Good to be here.
Awesome. So started at the Marine Corps, seemed to be doing the office world for a bit at various different office style companies, and then joining Peak Activity in the agency world, and finally where you are now. Maybe talk to us a bit about your career so far, how you ended up in a senior director role at the company that you're at with today.
I'll start way back in the day in Marine Corps life. So I was an ordnance technician, and we just built bombs and rockets and handled explosives. And that has absolutely nothing to do with real civilian life. And so my transition to data was probably a bit different than most people coming out of college or high school. I luckily landed a job at Office Max when I moved back to Chicago, and I started in on-site search optimization. So basically searching, search term that somebody would search on the website, let's just say case paper, and optimizing their results for it. And I started really getting into, you know, why are people searching these things? What are they really looking for? Why aren't they clicking on the product when they actually search that? And then analyzing the data. And from there, I started getting into product recommendations, updating the algorithms of the search results, updating the algorithms of the product recommendations. And just using all that data started getting me into A/B testing, got really heavy into statistics. And that's where I really grew a testing culture at Office Depot, Office Max. I did that for 5 or 6 years, then left to go to the agency, Peak Activity, doing very similar work, A/B testing on the consulting side, product recommendations, just overall on-site website conversion rate optimization, but highly analytical. Did that for, again, another 5 or 6 years, and then moved to At Home, where I'm currently at as the Senior Director of Optimization. Again, all in the same area of web optimization, conversion rate optimization. So At Home is a very large retailer in the US, 265 plus stores in 40 or more states right now. And we're having some really good growth this year and last year, and have really good plans for the year that we're heading to now.
That's awesome. Maybe talk to us a bit about how you look at making data-driven decisions. Like you'd mentioned, growing up through kind of the Office Max, Office Depot world, you having kind of learned how to optimize what people are looking for and why people are abandoning carts. Maybe talk to us a bit about your relationship to kind of making data-driven decisions.
Yeah, so I think our culture at home is extremely data-driven, probably the most data-driven company I've worked at. And we always start with the data. We do a lot of qualitative and quantitative data analysis. So we're doing heat map analysis, session replay analysis. We're doing user testing. And then we're actually looking at the click data, the actual web funnel data, and using all that to find friction points and solve those friction points. And so that's kind of the core of my role, is to understand what the customer is doing on the website, ask them questions, figure out what they're looking for, find out why they might not be converting, and optimize towards that in some type of A/B testing mentality, where we propose hypothesis backed by data and then run that type of A/B test to see which variation would win. And that's just a very iterative, repeatable process that will chip away at conversion rates basis points by basis point and ultimately meet our goals that we have.
I love that. Do you think that type of methodology is hardwired into people, or do you think that's something that's a learned behavior?
For me, it was learned. I'll be totally honest. I had very bad grades in high school, and really the only subject I was good at was math, and didn't really think I'd pursue a career in math or analytics or data. If you would ask me when I got in the Marine Corps if this is what I would be doing, I would have been like, nope, I have no idea. A lot of people helped me learn to get to this point. I took many courses. I went to college after the Marine Corps and had to work towards this. And now I think it comes a bit more natural. For me, it was learned, but I do know people on my team that are probably hardwired to be analytics people, and that's what they've always known they were going to be.
I love that. And how do you balance? And I feel like it's like really balancing on a knife's edge, the over-reliance on being able to make data-driven decisions with like analysis paralysis, because a lot of the times when you go down these rabbit holes, I'm sure you see conflicting data points. So like, how are you balancing that within your culture on basically ensuring that you're being data-driven, but not kind of falling victim to analysis paralysis?
Yeah, I go back to my Marine Corps leadership traits. And one of the probably the most important leadership trait that I've taken away from my training was just decisiveness. Now I'm making much different decisions now in my career at home than I was in the Marine Corps. And they have way different consequences on that decision. But just making a decision on the data and avoiding that analysis paralysis is what we strive to be. Of course, you fall into it with A/B testing, right? You might see one metric go up, the other one go down, and then you're like, what do we do? And so you dig deeper, you maybe slice it by device type, and you say, oh, it's winning on desktop, it's losing on mobile devices. And you'll get into analysis paralysis there. And ultimately, you have to be that voice in the room that says, hey, guys, we need to take a step back. We can't spin our wheels here anymore. We need to make a decision on this test. We're either going to call it a winner, a loser, and move on to bigger and better things. And so I think that is a culture that we've instilled at home, that I instill as a leader here, to be decisive when it comes to the data.
I love that. I think it's always interesting. Even we have those internal debates too. Do you start with the thesis and back the thesis with the data, or do you start with the data and then try and find the thesis after? So it's interesting to hear how you guys look at that. When it comes to gaining executive and leadership sponsorships for some of the things that you find through your data journeys, how are you positioning data into compelling stories to really drive home narratives that are going to drive potentially cross-functional behavior and action within a business?
Yeah, this is, I would say, a skill that I look for in hiring, and also a skill that you need to develop. Just storytelling with data in the first place is a very important skill. Think about speaking statistics to people that don't understand statistics. It can get kind of muddy, right? Well, it's winning. The data shows it's winning, but statistically it's not confident. And then you got to explain that. And so being able to tell that with data visualization is super important. So you can visualize it on the screen, on a presentation in Excel. One of my favorite books that I always buy for anybody that joins my team is Storytelling with Data by Cole Knoflick. Very, very good book. We'll try to put the link here in this podcast. Highly recommend it. Anybody that's getting into data and analytics and storytelling with data, even if you've been doing visualizations for years, you will find something insightful in this book. And just a couple tips that I always tell my team is to keep their slides very simple, straight to the point. You'll see in that book that she highly recommends against using pie charts, which you probably see pie charts all the time in any presentation that you see that has a visualization. But if you read this book and come to the understanding that they are not a good tool to use, not a good chart to use, and there's way better ways to visualize that. And so that is a book that I highly recommend and can purchase for anybody that joins on my team.
That's awesome. I think that's so important. And I didn't know that anecdote about the pie charts, but I'll definitely have to check out the book or at least skim a summary. Very open-ended question here. And I'm sure there's a lot of different ways to do this, but how do you use data to increase conversion rates when you look at things like an e-com website?
Yeah, I'll go back to what I said earlier, the qualitative data and the quantitative data. Sometimes they'll speak different languages, right? So we do a lot of user testing where we're asking our customers, how do they feel about the homepage? Or what's their first reaction when they land on the website? Or can they find the add to cart button? Simple as that. How would you compare our site to another site and one of our competitors? And you'll get certain reactions because they're speaking to you out loud. They're talking you through other thoughts. And you don't get that by just looking at data in Google Analytics or Adobe Analytics. You're not going to get that real feedback. So you could totally miss something, a friction point in looking at it through the data that the customer is just telling you. So we use that to back up all of our hypotheses, all of our testing program is taking that qualitative and quantitative, combining it and proposing a solution to it. So that's, I think, the simplest way to find friction points and chip away at that conversion rate.
Love it. And obviously to run that style of operation, you need a certain amount of rigor and you need to know when to push, when to pull. What are some of the leadership skills that you think leaders in your role need to develop to be efficient at doing that?
Yeah. At least at home, our culture is set up to drive this forward. I've been at other companies and my consulting days seen change is looked at as very difficult to get past. You know, that you may be working with a company that I would consider a dinosaur when it comes to proposing just changing something, right? But the good thing at home, we're culturally set up for that. Change is very welcoming. And so we're just at that point in our e-commerce journey and our retail journey that any idea is a good idea if you have the data to back it. And so we take that very seriously, basically spread out through our entire organization that we are advocates for change. We will push the envelope. We want to beat the competitor. I always say to my team that our competitors are testing. They're always testing. And if we're not testing, we're going to lose. They're going to beat us. And so we try to test fast and fail fast. We test as fast as possible. I think we have a leg up because we are testing so many different things all the time. And so if we're testing and learning faster than our competitors, we're going to outbeat them. So hope that answers your question.
I love that. I think you're bang on. I think e-com, as you look over the last 15, 20 years, it started off with availability and now it's really pushing towards who can curate and build the best experiences and get products to the people in the way that they want it as quickly and for the best cost. So I think a lot of the things that you're saying there completely ring true. What are some of the trends that you're seeing in 2024 that are top of mind for you as you kind of lead the analytics team, the testing teams?
Yeah, I think for us, we are seeing and using a lot of anomaly detection. So we're Adobe Shop, we're on Adobe Analytics, and we're getting alerts sent straight to our inboxes or our phones telling us there's an anomaly that's been detected, whether it's on the cart or it's on the homepage or your bounce rate spiked on the product page. And it tells us by segment. So right now we're at this point where a lot of the analysis is being driven from some type of anomaly that's been detected, and we'll dig into it. Where I think we're heading in the future is, you know, sometimes I'll get on in the morning and I'll see my inbox is flooded with alerts. Which ones do you take seriously? Which ones do you actually spend time analyzing? Which ones should you flag and look into? And I think that's like the tipping point when it comes to some of the AI that's happening in analytics in general, is the so what I call it, right? You get these alerts, you get these anomalies, but so what? What do I do? What's the solution? And I think that's going to come. You're going to ultimately end up getting an anomaly. Hey, your bounce rate's spiking on the PDP. Here's five solutions to it. Email acquisition pop-up, or make your add to cart button larger, or add some different copy here. So you're going to start getting recommendations that you can go hypothesize and test and solve those anomalies. That's where I think it's going to make our jobs easier.
Yeah, Matt, I think you got into my next question, which is kind of like, what do you think, if you look over the next 5 to 10 years, whether it's in the technology that's going to continue to be developed or just in e-com as a whole, like, where do you think some trends will emerge? You mentioned AI and recommendations, but anything else that comes to mind on where you kind of think the puck is moving?
I think personalization is a big one. Everyone, when you think of personalization or what website is the most personalized, you go to, everyone thinks Amazon, right? If you hit my Amazon homepage, you know way too much about my life, my personal life, and everything. And I think within the next couple of years, 5-6 years, all websites are going to have that capability or have the ability to do it at scale. I think that's probably the biggest bottleneck when it comes to personalization is scaling personalization. You need the right content. You need the right imagery. You need the right copy. You need all the things to work smoothly to present that piece of content or that product to the customer at the right time on the right page. And I just don't think the technology is there to scale it. And Amazon's a good example of how they've been able to do that. And so that's where I think it's going to be.
Yeah, makes a ton of sense. And as we're looking to wrap up, Matt, what are one of the challenges that you're facing in your role today that you think is kind of broadly applicable to people in your role?
I think SEO is extremely difficult right now in general, maybe even more so in the e-commerce space. All the new algorithm updates that Google's releasing, SGE, their labs is out there. It's not out yet, but navigating how your traffic is going to be impacted organically and on the paid side, paid media is getting more expensive. And so how do you balance that with all the things that Google's doing and changing is a pain point that probably a lot of companies are dealing with.
Couldn't agree more. And do you have any more forward-looking advice for maybe someone who wants to end up in a role like yours over the next couple of years? Like you mentioned, you weren't necessarily destined for this role coming out of high school, and you kind of took maybe a different path to get to the role you're in. But any kind of words of wisdom for people who potentially want to be in a role like yours over the next couple of years?
Yeah, I think one of the best ways to change culture, data-driven culture, or creating data-centric culture is to have like a daily stand-up that's owned by the analytics team. It's like, if you think of a stand-up on the IT side, hey, what am I doing today? What did I do yesterday? Do I have any blockers? Very similar to that, but analytics focus. You start here with a, here's how the revenue did yesterday. Here's some of the actions we're going to take on it today. And that room is your full team, right? You have analytics people, you have merchandising, you have site merchants, you have UI, UX that can react to these changes, but everyone is looking at the data and making decisions on it. That can drastically change a culture from maybe not using data so much or being a little bit of a dinosaur when it comes to making change happen. But everyone's looking at the same numbers and seeing the same things happen. You can make quicker decisions and more data-driven decisions.
Fully aligned. Matt, thank you so much for your wisdom. And I think this is going to be a really, really good specialized episode on how to make data-driven decisions. So really appreciate your time and thanks so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
The E-Commerce Toolbox Expert Perspectives is brought to you by Noibu. To find out more about Noibu and how we can help you debug your e-commerce site and rocket your revenue, visit www.noibu.com. That's NOIBU.com. And then make sure to search for the E-Commerce Toolbox Expert Perspectives on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found, and click subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at Noibu, thanks for listening.